Kim Pagano flow. Wake up, hit the dial, yeah, it's time to go. Start your day right. It's the Kim Pagano Show. She's the voice of Ventura, heart of the coast. With the good news only, yeah, she doing the most. Talking life, love, health, and hustle. Bringing in guests who flex that muscle. From authors to docs, she's bridging the gap. Kim got the real talk, never no cap. Tune in, let the wisdom flow. Start your morning with the Kim Pagano Show. It's positive vibes, it's purpose, it's real. It's coffee and truth with that local appeal. She got that laugh, that light that lift you up. Whether you're driving or sipping from your morning cup, she'll ask the hard cues, still keep it kind. Dropping gems every time that you press rewind. Community strong, she's built that lane. With heart and hustle running through her vein. It's not just a show, it's a vibe, a tribe. So tell your whole crew, yeah, it's time to subscribe. Tune in, let the wisdom flow. Start your morning with the Kim Pagano Show. It's positive vibes, it's purpose, it's real. It's coffee and truth with that local appeal. So when the world feels heavy and the skies feel gray, Kim's got a message to brighten. Start your morning with the Kim Pagano Show. It's positive vibes, it's purpose, it's real. It's coffee and truth with that local appeal. So when the world feels heavy and the skies feel gray, Kim's got a message to brighten.
Good morning and welcome to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. I'm so glad that you are still here with me. And of course, we have another incredible guest. And of course, his book is Autism Causes Unveiled. And that's Dinesh Dani. And it's all about the hidden traumatic brain injuries at birth causing the autism empathic. Is that how you say it? Empathic?
Epidemic.
Sorry, thank you. Yes. Yep. And so first of all, Dinesh, welcome and thank you so much for being here. Tell us a little bit about yourself and of course, I guess your son, correct?
Yes. So my name is Dinesh. I am a parent of two boys with autism. You know, they're now 18 years old and 16 years old. So they've been around autism for a while now. And I do have a degree in science, you know, master's degree in science. So I tend to be a little logical about everything that happens to us. And it was quite a mystery, you know, how two kids are on the spectrum, you know, when we had nothing in the family on either side, you know, it's, we were told it's genetic and, you know, there's nothing in the family on either side, and then we are not relatives, so you know that, you know, marriage between relatives can be an issue, but this time it wasn't anything like that. You know, we were not related, and so you know, I was totally puzzled and confused that this happened to
me. As any parent would be. And so you go, you do your own searching, you do your own research, right? And then
yes,
you are an advocate for your family, for your kids, for you, correct?
Exactly, exactly. So I was looking and, you know, the turning point came when a neurologist that we were consulting with ordered an MRI scan for my second boy, you know. And this was, you know, even something that happened totally by chance. You know, the doctor's office said, hey, we didn't get the MRI scan from the hospital, can you go pick it up? and bring it to us to the appointment tomorrow. So I went the previous day, got the MRI scan, read through it. The terms were a little difficult to follow and understand, but then there was like one term that kind of stood out in the final report, and it said gliosis, white matter gliosis, multiple spots of white matter gliosis, and all this is not it's not genetic, it's not metabolic, it is a remote white matter insult.
So
So
what does that come from, or how does that work?
exactly. So both my boys were typically put through labor induction, for a really long time. Mom had a perfectly healthy pregnancy. There was nothing, no complications whatsoever, except that, 40 weeks went by. There was no contractions, no signs of de delivery. And the obstetrician told us, hey, you can get into complications if you proceed further. There was no sign of complications whatsoever, but she kind of scared us into saying, okay, okay, we need to do something about it. So
Going to labor right now.
yeah. And so she introduced us to this, labor induction process. She introduced it as like a very safe and natural process to have a baby. And we didn't know much, so we kind of said, all right, she's advising, she's the doctor, she knows better. So we went ahead and put the kids through labor induction, both boys, and the process itself went fine. They were induced for a really long time. There was some the nurses were not happy, let's say, somewhere during the process, but overall, we didn't notice anything. Did one was induced for like a good 12 hours. The second one was induced for like 18 hours. So
Wow.
one long bout of induction, and I didn't think much about it. But then once the diagnosis came in, I knew it was probably something to do with that labor induction process. So I kind of went into this obsessive research. As a parent, you're just passionate about, finding out what exactly went wrong there.
Right,
So,
exactly. I had a baby that she passed away when she was 11 months old. So my heart, I can understand. And I remember thinking, was it the ketchup I had when I was in, I mean, you just go through everything. Like, what could I have done differently to make this outcome, different? Are your boys functioning? How on the spectrum are they?
They are, at least a level two, like, medium.
Do they
They
speak?
were they started out nonverbal, totally nonverbal. Now they can communicate their needs. The older they got, they kind of have improved a bit, but then they're not regular individuals by any means, so they're
And they
still very.
do they live with you?
They do live with me. My 18-year-old is, he's 18. He still doesn't understand that, he's old enough to be independent and drive by himself and things like that. So he's probably at a 6, 7-year-old level of maturity. So.
Right. So let me ask you, okay, first of all, in what ways do you think the symptoms of autism and brain damage overlapped?
Yeah, so what I discovered in that MRI scan was that, they suffered brain damage during that labor induction process. So I went into this research, figured that, the label on the pitocin drug, the drug that is used for labor induction, what it does, it induces contractions in the mother. So and induces contractions when the cervix is not ready. Cervix is the other end of the uterus, and it's been holding the baby in for like the full 12 month, 10 months,
Right.
and then suddenly it's expected to open up and release the baby out, and it's not happening. So what they do is like they induce contractions artificially. Now what those contractions do is They literally hammer the baby, head first. Remember, the baby is coming out head first from the mother. So these contractions are, literally hammering the baby, the brain, because they are coming out head first, literally hammering the baby out with excessive contractions. Now, if the cervix dilates like it's supposed to and releases the baby, then there is no damage. But if you have to go through prolonged induction and excessive contractions, deploy excessive contractions here because the dilation is not happening, then that's what causes this brain damage. So there are lots of people who have been through labor induction and have normal babies. That's because, the time, the number of contractions that they have been subject to is much less.
Dinesh, so what are the legal standpoint with cases, like this and, medical malpractice? Did you ever go down that road?
Oh yeah, absolutely. That was actually my first reaction was like, okay, this and everybody who saw that MRI scan said, hey, this looks like you got to go sue somebody. So, and that's what I tried to do. And
There is no word.
unfortunately, the way the entire medical legal apparatus works is they acknowledge a hypoxic brain injury. Like the baby is supplied oxygen through the umbilical cord, and if there is any problems with that, there's hypoxic brain injury. So the brain can be damaged two ways. One is the hypoxic brain injury, and that is recognized, and that is something that involves a NICU stay, so a neonatal ICU stay, when that kind of damage happens. So the lawyers I spoke to, the first thing they asked for is like, hey, did he have a NICU stay? And obviously the answer was no. And with that's the problem with traumatic brain damage is it is truly invisible. The brain does not sense pain upon damage to itself. So it happens so silently. The fetal monitors are not picking up the damage. The fetal monitors pick up hypoxic injury, the oxygen component of it. They're not really monitoring traumatic brain damage to the baby. So what happens is like the cervix is not dilating. You continue hammering that brain. The brain has nowhere to go. The brain has nowhere to go. It's getting pounded in place until that cervix opens up, and once that happens, you it's followed by the pushing stage. So you sustain all that damage in that dilation stage, and then the next stage is the pushing stage, where the brain is able to deform and take the shape, a conical shape, to come out of the mother. So when that deformation happens, any damage that is sitting there
Would not
gets
even be noticed.
Gets blotted out. It's not visible on the MRI scan anymore.
Exactly. Dinesh, what do you want the my listeners to get from your book?
Oh, okay. This book is definitely going to bring a lot of change, is my expectation, in the medical world and the autism world for sure. My expectation is it will bring a total, complete stop of the autism epidemic. Eliminate the autism epidemic altogether.
Right, open some eyes. Well,
Yep, exactly.
I hear your passion behind this, and I thank you so much for sharing it here. How do our listeners get your book?
Yes, my book is currently available on Amazon. It's called Autism Causes Unveiled. Dinesh Dani. This is actually my second book. I did write one in 2021. So this is a follow-up. Basically, I didn't know of quite a few details
A
at
little bit
that time.
deeper, right?
Yeah, so this goes a lot deeper. It covers the entire epidemic, of what is going on and what you're being told and what you're not being told. And I am an outsider to the whole Olil. So I can say things that your doctor cannot say.
Right.
So I'm
I
not
agree.
bound by medical boards.
Yeah,
I'm not.
I'm sorry for that this happened to your family, but I appreciate that you're trying to help other families. So, Dinesh, again,
Exactly.
thank you so much for joining us here on my show, The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life and Business. Please download our podcast, and I look forward to learning more from you. Thank you.
Sure.
Well, that was some really good stuff and some things that we learned there. And let's bring our next guest on. And for our listeners, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show. And of course, I am so glad that you have tuned in. And of course, today we're going to be talking with Bob Lane, who is a prostate cancer survivor and advocate known as Elevator Bob. I want to learn more about that. And of course, Dr. Benjamin Lowentritt, the Director of Prostate Cancer Services at the United Urology Group. Welcome and thank you so much for being here. Dr. Lowentritt, maybe we can start with you. What are some types of prostate cancer that are less known, and what role do hormones play in this challenging to treat condition?
Yeah, thanks so much, Kim, for bringing us here, and I'm really happy to partner with Johnson & Johnson to talk about a phase of the disease that we don't often concentrate on. Prostate cancer overall affects over 300,000 men a year, but a subset of those men are either going to present with cancer that's already spread or recur after having a previous treatment and go on to what we consider advanced prostate cancer. And almost all of those men are going to have what we call hormone-sensitive prostate cancer, which means that it's still being affected by testosterone. Testosterone is the fuel that feeds prostate cancer cells and allows it to grow. So a lot of our therapies for this hormone-sensitive advanced prostate cancer is to block that effect of testosterone, either by blocking the production of testosterone or using treatments like Erleada, which block the ability of the testosterone to interact with the prostate tissue. So thankfully, with using these therapies in combination, we're often able to put the cancer into a bit of a dormant state, oftentimes for years, and keep it under control. We're no longer talking about cure, but we're able to control it in many cases.
Wow, and I'm reading here that 45,000 men in the U.S. will be diagnosed with hormone-sensitive prostate cancer. Are there symptoms for this?
Well, usually no. There's a very small subset of people that will present with symptoms from where the cancer spread. But for most people, prostate cancer has little to no symptoms, especially in its early stages. So that's why we always preach that screening with a simple blood test and exam is really important for men, probably starting in their 40s, but definitely into their 50s and 60s and beyond to make sure that we know what's happening before it gets to that problematic phase.
Wow. And Bob, thank you so much for being here. And I've heard that you've had a remarkable journey surviving prostate cancer. And can you share a little bit about your journey?
Sure. I'd be happy to, Kim. And thanks for having us. I'm in my 12th year of survival. Started out in 2014, and I had my prostate removed because of how aggressive the prostate cancer turned out to be. And it came back. I'm one of the people that Dr. Lowentritt was speaking of. Mine came back and metastasized. We learned 4 years later, watching it grow slowly, it metastasized in my C1 vertebrae, right between my brain and my spinal cord. So they took it out with radiation. And during those 4 years, I had plenty of opportunity. I knew that it was castrate sensitive hormone sensitive. So we knew what kind of approach we wanted to take, and it was Erleada. That's what it came down to. It was the state of the art back in 2021, and continues to be very, very wildly successful for me. I'm in my fifth year of that combination therapy. It's a good place to be. I don't have any symptoms. I take a pill once a day, which is a nice way to be able to medicate for something that's that serious.
Right. And I know that you're Elevator Bob. Can you tell us a little bit about that nickname and where that came from?
I am Elevator Bob. It came from the head nurse at the urology office where I am a patient. And she asked me one day if I'd be willing to speak with patients, other stage four prostate cancer patients, who just sometimes just 15 minutes earlier learned that they are that way. And I said, definitely, I'd be happy to do that. So I sit out in the elevator lobby, hence the name, and I wait for patients to approach me because it's not my place to approach a stranger about it. But once they know about me and they ask me, we have a conversation, and they'll typically share a whole lot about their diagnosis. I can share mine, I can share my story, but the most important thing is to let them know that they're not alone, because it's 1 out of 8 men, and more frequent than that if you're in, you know, the Black community or a Caribbean descent, or if you're a veteran, it's 1 out of 5. So let them know they're not alone, let them know there's plenty of support out there. I try to give them specific information about their particular diagnosis through credible sources, and help them on their journey.
For all these men, and what a great thing to not be feeling alone. So I love that. Wow, thank you for what you're doing. Yeah, and using your journey to help other people just is incredible.
Well, thank you. It's always nice for you to say that, and it helps a lot of people, so it's a good thing. Yeah,
and I'm sure it helps you too. It's a win-win when people do that. So I love that. Dr. Lowentritt, you've authored a number of studies of real-world evidence in prostate care and cancer, and what is real-world evidence, and why does it matter, and what did these studies show?
Yeah, so real-world evidence, as the name would suggest, it allows us to look at how treatments, like in this case ERLEADA, work for patients in everyday medical practices, not just the very curated clinical studies that often are done, that are needed to get a treatment authorized and approved. So we're able to look at a broader community of people and patients, both to reinforce what was seen in the clinical trials in that narrow group of patients, but also then to answer questions that may not be able to be asked in a clinical trial, so that we're able to really help give more confidence to a patient when they're evaluating different options, and frankly to the doctors, so that they can feel confident that what they're seeing in the clinical trials is what they can expect to get in their practice.
Yeah, and why is it important for doctors and patients to consider real-world evidence when discussing prostate cancer?
Yeah, we all want to have the most confidence going into a treatment that we know what we're going to expect. So I think when a patient's making a choice, and when a doctor's making a choice in how to advise a patient, they really want as much information as possible to help, you know, potentially decide between different options that are out there or what combinations may work best. And some of these are hard to glean from the clinical trial data alone. So real world evidence is kind of bridging the gap to get to some of the practical questions that really help patients and doctors understand the impact that a treatment choice is likely to make.
Right. And somebody that's gone through this, how does it change their life?
Going through it, you think about your mortality a little bit, and with some degree of frequency. But I've gotten well past that because, as I said earlier, I'm in a good place. I don't think about that. You know, none of us are getting out of here alive, and this does not appear to be what's going to take me out, at least not anytime soon. As long as the drugs keep working, as long as the ERLEADA keeps doing what it's supposed to do, but it does. It makes me appreciate the little things more, and that sounds trite, but it's awfully true. And it does, it makes me want to give back. And you alluded to that a few minutes ago when you said it makes me feel good when I do that. And it does. And that's, you know, my wife is fully on board with me doing what I do 2 days a week. And she's happy for me and happy for the fact that I do it. So it's, yeah, I don't think about the mortality at all.
Okay. Well, I like that. And again, where can we find out more information, one on social emotional support from you, Bob, and then Dr. Lowentritt, where can we find out for the patients?
I'll start with that, doctor. The online, there's plenty of information online through credible sources, different nonprofits, Erlita.com can get you started with some of that, but there's peer groups available. Zero Prostate Cancer has a whole lot of peer groups, I think 165 of them, that are all very functional and very helpful to people. But building your own support network, support group is critical. Start with your caregivers, talk to them, get involved with them, ask questions, because the more you ask of them, they love it when patients ask questions, because it shows an interest, it shows an interaction. And then get with other prostate cancer survivors, get their experience. Put that experience together and share it with your family, because your family is concerned too, and you can find ways to help them.
I love it. And Dr. Lowentritt, how do we find out more about this?
Yeah, I always say talk to your doctor about any treatment choices and understand the side effects and the goals of any treatment. But for more information about Erlita, you certainly can go to Erlita.com. And if you're interested and want to and having, need more questions answered, please don't hesitate to continue to ask. Find a specialist in your area or find a resource that you can get your questions asked. But Erlita.com is a good place to start.
I love it. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being a guest here on the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life and Business. And we appreciate your information and your services. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
I got this feeling inside my bones.
When you dine at Manhattan of Camarillo, located in the heart of the Santa Rosa Valley, you'll be able to take a step back in time with Manhattan's Supper Club Italian Dining. Enjoy live entertainment while eating and relaxing with an extensive wine list. Tuesday and Thursday, receive a complimentary bottle of house wine with the purchase of two entrees from their regular menu. They also invite you to stop by and enjoy their heated Madison Beer Garden with a full bar and craft beer selections. Don't forget about Manhattan's private wine room. Holding up to 50 people, it's perfect for any professional or special occasion. Call today to make your reservations and book your next private party. That's 805-388-5550. That's 805-388-5550. Or go to manhattanofcamarillo.com, located right off the 101 freeway in Pleasant Valley.
Are you ready to empower your child with the skills they need to safely enjoy the water? Kim O'Brien with Survival Swim with Kim, Infant Aquatics, teaches self-rescue swim skills to children of all ages. Self-rescue skills can save a child's life if they accidentally fall into the water. After losing her daughter to drowning, Kim became a certified survival swim instructor to help families in Ventura County protect their children. Survival Swim with Kim teaches kids 6 months and up how to roll and float independently. Don't wait. Check out survivalswimwithkim.com. That's survivalswimwithkim.com, or call Kim at 805-620-7177. That's 805-620-7177.
Are you worried your perfect customers are finding you online, then clicking away because your website makes your business look outdated? Imagine this, having a website that reflects your expertise and professionalism. Peace of mind knowing your website is kept up to date and secure. A managed hosting plan, especially for your website. If you're ready to have all that you imagined, visit webweaversconsulting.com for WordPress website packages, maintenance plans, and hosting plans. Webweavers Consulting will make your website work for you so you can focus on making a difference in your own unique way. That's webweaversconsulting.com.
If you're a business owner or looking to be one, put Littlefoot Construction on the top of your list. Littlefoot Construction specializes in restaurant remodels, tenant improvements, office remodels. Call Littlefoot Construction with all your commercial and industrial needs. Littlefoot Construction works with big or small businesses. Or even if it's a dream, Littlefoot Construction will make your vision come true. Call Littlefoot Construction at 805-491-2759. That's 805-491-2759 for all your construction needs.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally, on KVTA.
Hi, good morning, and thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show. And of course, starting our day here in a positive way, we've got Dr. Elise Kramer, and she is all about protecting eyes, and especially for the fall. She's also a renowned optometrist. And again, welcome and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. And of course, autumn may bring a lot of crisp air, but also a lot of allergies, right?
Absolutely. And eye health connects directly to our overall well-being. And we love the fall. It's beautiful and changing seasons and trees. But all of that does create some challenges for people suffering with dry eye. And, we've got that dehydrating air from heating systems, ragweed, allergies, and we can't get away from our screens either. So all of that can really trigger irritation, dryness, fatigue. And that's why I've partnered with TheraTears to really remind everyone that caring for dry eyes isn't just about being comfortable. It's also about finding solutions for long-lasting relief.
Yeah, and it's a science, right? What makes the phrase key for your eye care?
So it's a science captures how TheraTears is more than just a soothing drop. It really delivers all five critical electrolytes in a science-backed formula that mirrors your natural tears. So TheraTears has five vital electrolytes that we find in the natural tears. So these are like sodium, potassium, calcium, magnesium, and bicarbonate. And that balance really supports hydration that lasts, which makes a real difference even when seasonal dryness is really bad.
And so is it like instant or, because I know that if I'm working on my computer for a really long time, my eyes start to, my contact pops out. That's how bad it is. Have you ever had that happen or you're in the air conditioner and you're driving? Oh gosh. Okay, good. So I'm not alone. Is there just not any like fluid in your eyes or what? Is it an aging thing or does it happen to everybody?
And most people have a little bit of dry eye. And I think, this thing with screens is it really reduces our blink rate, sometimes by over 60%. So you're supposed to blink about 12 to 15 times a minute when you're on a screen. You might not even be blinking once a minute, right? And that can just lead to excessive tear evaporation. And if you're wearing a foreign body, like a contact lens, that can just dry out because exactly what you said, there's not enough, tears, or the tears can also evaporate too quickly if you're not blinking. So TheraTears actually gives peace of mind knowing their patients are using something created by experts, proven in studies with long-lasting relief. And that level of science gives you more than just comfort. It really gives that relief that you're using something truly effective. So when eye care is science-based, like science-backed, like TheraTears, these key ingredients really work together to support that hydrated, balanced eyes and leaving them feeling nourished and comfortable.
Mm-hmm. And now, is it different than just like the natural tears, that kind of thing?
So TheraTears is the only over-the-counter dry eye drop with those five vital electrolytes, and the formula restores moisture and balance. So I think most people don't understand that electrolytes are the unsung heroes of your natural tears. So think of your tear film as like a delicate ecosystem. And when it's out of balance and your eyes lose that water, then you feel them burning, right? So TheraTears doesn't just cover up symptoms or like a Band-Aid. It really replenishes what the eyes are actually missing. So for people who are struggling through dry fall air, that can mean the difference between, being comfortable and completely uncomfortable.
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah, thank you. And what other solutions are available for eye care needs right now?
Yeah, so everyone's different. Every eye is different. And TheraTears really addresses that with options like preservative-free drops. They've got gel formulas also for overnight relief. And they've also got like products for everyday or all-day relief. And that range allows for people to really choose what works best for them, for their lifestyle, whether they're working or they're outdoors or at night. And I think also don't wait until discomfort becomes a bigger problem. I think it's important to really address it early because other simple steps that you can take at home or at your office, adjusting indoor humidity. Don't forget to drink water, right? Staying hydrated. And if you are using a screen, like take blinking breaks, take screen breaks. I like to tell people to leave their TheraTears next to their computer so that they could use it throughout the day. And also this reminds them to blink. So there's options, again, like TheraTears that can really make a difference. And I think one take home is just to prioritize eye health now. And that could really mean lasting comfort and protection throughout the season.
I love it. And you can use it with contacts, correct?
So you want to use it about 15 minutes before you put your lenses on, and then you can use it again after you remove the lenses.
After you remove them?
Yep.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure. So you do need to remove them. Very interesting. All right. Well, I love this. And I know just a second, can you tell us a little bit more about you?
Yeah, so I'm an eye care provider. I specialize in ocular surface disease and designing specialty contact lenses. I practice in Miami and Weston, Florida as well. And, treating dry eye is really something I do on a daily basis. I think most people have, a certain level of dry eye and some people don't know. And so I think it's important really just to get your eyes checked at least once a year, just to make sure.
And how hard is it to find the right contact? I had a doctor out here that I was doing the once a month, and he said, have you ever thought of doing the daily? So he gave me like 5 different pairs. And at the end, I was so confused. I'm like, I just have more of this one. Okay, I'll take that. But do you have a reference in regards to that?
Yeah. So, everyone's different. And I think at this point, we realize that we really have to tailor eye care to each individual patient. And everyone's eye is so different. The shapes are different. The vision's different. And I think there's a contact lens out there for everyone, whether it has to be a disposable one or a custom made one. And just like, finding the right eye drop, the right TheraTears that's right for you, it's finding the right contact lens for you. And that's really up to your eye care provider to find out what works. And if it doesn't work, don't give up, because there is a lens out there for you, for sure.
I love it. Dr. Elise Kramer, how do we find out more about TheraTears?
Yeah, so you can get more information and resources about TheraTears and dry eye at TheraTears.com.
Well, that was some really good stuff and some things that we learned there. And let's bring our next guest on.
Hey, Kim, how you doing?
I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
I am well. Thank you for asking.
Oh, right. Well, again, for our listeners, welcome back. And we're going to talk a little bit about during the last year's record flu season, the CDC estimated that as many as 82 million, you heard it right, 82 million Americans contracted a flu virus, and as many as 1.3 million were hospitalized with that flu. And while it's too early to predict this season of flu activity, the key to prevention for those at high risk remain the same. And so we're going to talk with Dr. Victoria Epperdesi, and she's a PharmD and CVS Pharmacy District Leader for a crash course. So welcome, and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So talk to us. Like, first of all, we were just talking about our kids going back to school and the first thing they bring home, right? Even before homework is some, like, I'm not feeling good, stomach flu. Like, you just, it's like you can't help it when you're around a lot of people, correct?
You're absolutely right, Kim. Kids go back to school, and I always say, whether you have kids or you don't, right, those fall germs start running rapid, the viruses, and we do everything we can to prevent. You know, as moms out there, we go out, we buy all the fever reducers, we get them some extra multivitamins and all the things to prevent it, but a lot of times it's inevitable, and, the number one thing that we can do for the flu prevention is really, getting vaccinated, so now's a great time to start doing research, deciding if it's right for you and your family, and if so, scheduling an appointment and getting yourselves taken care of.
Right, right. And who is at most risk, would you say?
Yeah, I mean, great question. So, you know, obviously the younger population, CDC recommends anybody 6 months of age or over to get the flu vaccine. So less than that, they can't get it. And then our elderly as well. As you start to age, your immune system weakens. So we do have a high dose flu vaccine available. But at the same time, you know, there's still a population that we always like to keep an eye on. And then, you know, anybody immunocompromised, anybody going through cancer treatments or, you know, have a disease state that just doesn't allow their immune system to, you know, work to the best of its ability. Those are really our high risk patients that we want to keep an eye on.
I love it. I love it. And while we're talking about who should get it, who should not get it? Is it a live vaccination?
No, it is an inactivated vaccine. However, you know, you want to make sure that you don't have any allergies to the flu shot or any of its components. And if you've had an allergic reaction, you know, in the past, you definitely, you know, don't want to get it, but you want to talk to your doctor about, you know, other options to make sure that you're protected. But it's even more of a reason for those without any kind of allergy to it to make sure they're protected, so we're not passing it around.
Got it. And do people need to get that every year, or is like one good, and or how does that work?
It is annual. You know, we've recently become more familiar with the word strain and variant, right, with COVID. But the flus have always had, you know, different strains and variants. And every year we do our best to predict what the new variant will be that season. And then the flu shot is designed around that variant. So it's really important to get the flu shot every year to ensure that you're protected against what's actually circulating in the community that year.
Very good. And of course, when you get the flu vaccine, do you end up getting the flu? Like, what do you get? Like, is it a mock? How does that work?
That is the number one misconception. So I love this question because I love explaining it. So the flu vaccine is made up of inactivated flu. So it's not live. You can't get it. However, it does create an immune response, which is what we want it to do. And sometimes that immune response can have flu-like symptoms. So you could experience a low-grade fever, body aches, chills, headache. That is, again, just your immune system doing what we want it to do. Those symptoms will be mild and they'll be quick. They should, you know, go away on their own in 24 to 48 hours after getting the vaccine if you should experience them.
Okay. And also, does it protect us from all flus, or how does that work?
Yeah, so
I'm asking a lot of questions, aren't I?
No, happy to help. Happy to help. So it doesn't. So, you know, it's just the most prevalent strains that year. We have, you know, different makeups. The most popular one is a trivalent. So there's three different variations in there. But if you get the flu shot and then, you know, the variant changes, if you do contract the flu, your symptoms will still be more mild as if you hadn't gotten it, right? So it keeps you out of the hospital. You know, we talked about those 1.3 Americans that ended up hospitalized last year. If you get
Correct.
The flu shot and get, you know, pick up some sort of different variant, it still will make it mild enough to where hopefully you don't need hospitalization and you're not passing it around to your loved ones.
I like that for sure. And obviously, like, when I go into my CVS, you see them all the time giving shots and everything. So how long does it usually take to get a shot, and how fast does it start working?
Yeah, great question. So a lot of our locations have designated immunizers who are pharmacists or technicians that are just there to immunize. So if you make an appointment online or just walk in, of course, our goal is to get you in and out as fast as possible. Keeping safety in mind, of course, we always want to make sure that we're being safe, but we do have designated immunizers outside of workflow just to take care of your immunization needs during this season.
I like that. I like that. And where is that covered by most of our insurances? And where can we get the flu shots?
It is. Yeah. So flu shots are typically no cost to you with most commercial insurance plans, as well as Medicare Part B. If you'd like to schedule, of course, we'd love to take care of you at CVS. So, you know, you can go to our website. You can use our app to schedule. If that's not convenient for you, talk to your doctor's office. They may have them in office, Or check your local health department's website. A lot of time clinics will pop up in the community, whether it's at, you know, the local football game or the farmer's market. And a lot of times, you know, those are at no cost to you too. And you can just walk up and get one in your day-to-day errand running. So, you know, just stay close to community networks to understand where you can get one.
There you go. I love it. And again, we're talking about the flu shots. And of course, that's seasonal, right? We want to get one every year. And of course, Dr. Victoria Epper-Jesse. Did I get that right?
You got it. Yep, you got it.
Thank you so much for being here. How can my listeners find out more about this?
Yeah, CVS.com for more information, to schedule an appointment, or if you just want more information on the flu that our website doesn't cover, check out CDC.gov.
You got it. Very good. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life and Business. Thank you again.
Thank you, Kim. Have a good one.
You too. Take care. You're listening to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
When you dine at Manhattan of Camarillo, located in the heart of the Santa Rosa Valley, you'll be able to take a step back in time with Manhattan's Supper Club Italian Dining. Enjoy live entertainment while eating and relaxing with an extensive wine list. Tuesday and Thursday receive a complimentary bottle of house wine with the purchase of two entrees from their regular menu. They also invite you to stop by and enjoy their heated Madison Beer Garden with a full bar and craft beer selections. Don't forget about Manhattan's private wine room. Holding up to 50 people, it's perfect for any professional or special occasion. Call today to make your reservations and book your next private party. That's 805-388-5550. That's 805-388-5550. Or go to manhattanofcamarillo.com, located right off the 101 freeway in Pleasant Valley.
Ready to empower your child with the skills they need to safely enjoy the water? Kim O'Brien with Survival Swim with Kim, Infant Aquatics, teaches self-rescue swim skills to children of all ages. Self-rescue skills can save a child's life if they accidentally fall into the water. After losing her daughter to drowning, Kim became a certified survival swim instructor to help families in Ventura County protect their children. Survival Swim with Kim teaches kids 6 months and up how to roll and float independently. Don't wait. Check out SurvivalSwimWithKim.com. That's SurvivalSwimWithKim.com or call Kim at 805-620-7177. That's 805-620-7177.
Are you worried your perfect customers are finding you online, then clicking away because your website makes your business look outdated? Imagine this, having a website that reflects your expertise and professionalism. Peace of mind knowing your website is kept up to date and secure. A managed hosting plan, especially for your website. If you're ready to have all that you imagined, visit webweaversconsulting.com for WordPress website packages, maintenance plans, and hosting plans. Webweavers Consulting will make your website work for you so you can focus on making a difference in your own unique way. That's webweaversconsulting.com.
If you're a business owner or looking to be one, put Littlefoot Construction on the top of your list. Littlefoot Construction specializes in restaurant remodels, tenant improvements, office remodels. Call Littlefoot Construction with all your commercial and industrial needs. Littlefoot Construction works with big or small businesses, or even if it's a dream, Littlefoot Construction will make your vision come true. Call Littlefoot Construction at 805-491-2759. That's 805-491-2759 for all your construction needs.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally, on KVTA.
Hi, Lamont. How are you? And welcome to the Kim Pagano Show. How are you doing?
Hi, Kim. I'm fine. Thank you for having me. I'm fine.
Oh, you're welcome. I love your accent. Where are you from?
I was born in Cincinnati and grew up in Kentucky.
very cool. And you are the managing editor for Education, U.S. News, and World Report. And of course, we're going to be talking a little bit about the releases. It's an annual best college ranking. I'm sure my listeners are going to be excited to hear about this and find out which schools actually topped this year's list. So let's start. Thank you.
You're welcome. The schools that topped the list this year, in the two main categories, we have a number of specialized rankings, but the two main categories are national universities and national liberal arts colleges. And just quickly, the difference between those, national universities are heavily focused on research, and they offer master's and doctoral programs in addition to a range of undergraduate degree programs. National Liberal Arts Colleges, on the other hand, are primarily focused on undergraduate education, and at least half of their degrees are awarded in the liberal arts fields. So for the national universities, in the top 10, we have Princeton at number one, number two, and Harvard is third. Tied at fourth are Stanford and Yale. And at six, the actually new entrant into the top 10 this year, University of Chicago is number six. And then rounding out the top 10 in that category, there's a four-way tie at number seven, Duke, Johns Hopkins, Northwestern, and the University of Pennsylvania. Over for national.
Wow. Liberal.
Yeah, that's the top 10.
There you go. And how do you guys determine the best colleges?
There's an extensive process. It takes the better part of a year to do the rankings. We rely on, at US News, a team of expert data analysts, and they're involved with gathering the data, verifying, certifying. They send out a massive three-part survey to colleges to complete with information, gather third-party information from other reliable sources, data that can be used. And then there are 17 key indicators, ranking factors that are weighted differently to arrive at the rankings. And a little over 50% of the weight is given to factors that deal with outcomes for the students, since that's the object, right? To go to college, to graduate, and to get a job in the field you went to study for and get paid.
Wow. And what determines the best college? Like, they pick different students for different reasons, but what determines the best colleges?
Well, best can be subjective, but by our standards we developed for, over four decades at US News, and based on what's important to students and their families, what they say is important, are factors that deal with graduation rates. How well does the school graduate the students that it brings and fulfills on its promise of getting them an education? For lower income students and for a lot of other students, cost is a huge factor for most people. So what sort of cost do the schools have? What sort of aid do students get? How much loan debt, if any, do they come out with? These get to the issues that are so important to families. The faculty, how well the faculty prepared, how well are they paid? What percentage are full time? How much in resources, financial resources, do colleges devote to a student's education in the classroom? Peer assessment, what other colleges think of each other, that matters, and their reputation. So all these are designed to, in U.S. News' eyes, and we feel is a really valid measure to indicate how well a college does doing what it says its mission is to do.
I love it. I love it. And what advice do you have for prospective students and their parents, going into college?
Well, US News, we always advise students and their families to, first of all, use our rankings as a starting point. Because we've done so much legwork already for you. This whole process of even thinking about going to college, let alone applying, can be stressful, it can be intimidating, it can be hard to understand and navigate. We've tried to demystify it by gathering all this important data and making apples to apples comparisons so that students can go online free. There's no paywall on usnews.com. Look at these rankings, look at all of our other content about what to consider when you're looking at schools, what factors might be important to you, degree program information, how you can start getting ready in high school for this, all this tips and information so that students and families can make the best choice. And one other thing too that we think is important, and that's this, for parents to be informed as well, because we have a lot of content for parents. There are a number of students who may be first generation or their parents aren't that familiar with the process. And they're a key part, obviously, in this major life decision. So a lot of content for them. In fact, we have a weekly free email newsletter every single Thursday. It's called Getting In. And people can go on the usnews.com site, register for it. It's targeting parents and other adults who are helping young people apply to college. But a lot of the students themselves get it because it's so much information about every aspect, whether it's test scores, essays. How do I even know where to start? Where do I need to look at? What should I consider? We really try to demystify it. So really crystallize what's important to you as a student and your family, how you arrange your priorities in terms of what you want out of a college, then where to find that information, how to compare. There may be three great schools for you. There may be 30. At least knowing that and knowing how to make a decision from that point forward.
I love it. And do you recommend, Lamont, definitely putting applications in a lot of different schools, or should you narrow it down and pick one?
Well, that's a great question, Kim. We found that it helps students and their families to cast a wide net. There never really is a guarantee that one will get in any school, no matter what kind of credentials you have. So cast a wide net. And things like the Common App that allows students to apply to many colleges at once, you know, and helps save money on the admissions fees, which can kind of add up. Using that as a tool, we have information about that on our site about how to navigate that. But to cast a wide net, because often students find, you looking at our rankings, wait a minute, I never heard of this college. I've been covering higher education for a number of years and, you know, went to college. Still, even in all of our coverage, I'm coming across a college about every week that I didn't know existed, but they're out there and there are great schools all across the U.S., so cast a wide net.
I love it. I love it. Lamont Jones, thank you so much for bringing this information. Again, could you just mention where my listeners can go to find out more?
Sure. They can go straight to usnews.com. There's no paywall. Go right in. Click on the education tab right there on that homepage. That opens you up to the panoply of rankings and articles and information. There's a free scholarship search database, scholarship finder on there. They can sign up for that newsletter I mentioned. The other tools, go to usnews.com.
Great. Again, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life and business. And we appreciate you being here.
Thanks so much for having me, Kim.
Thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life and business. And of course, we're here every Saturday from 7 to 8. And also, you can find us on our podcast. And of course, that is the Kim Pagano Show. And of course, I end all of our shows with a moment of happiness. And so many of us invest in so many things, our business, our families, our homes, our cars, our sports. Make sure you're investing in yourself and in your health, because we all know that health is our wealth. Have a great rest of your weekend, and I'll talk to you next week.